Title of today's message is A Good Father. Proverbs 18:22. A man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. A good wife is a great blessing to a man. So I know that I am blessed because of the wife that I have found. And I have found the favor of the Lord because of that. So have you. So what's that got to do with Father's Day? You got to have a wife. And a man is what? Is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Men, when we got married, our ladies became number one. She became our best friend. The one we want to hang out with. You may have hung around with a lot of friends and a lot of people you thought were your buds. You ain't going to spend your life with them. You're going to spend your life with your lady. Amen? So that should be the person you desire to be with, is what I'm saying, and to hang out with. And when you and your wife have children, things change. You take on another responsibility. You add to the title of husband, father. You and your wife become a family. And a family needs your attention and your time. Amen. Well, I got to work and I got to be their supply every day. Wait a minute here. Don't put your job and all the overtime ahead of your family. Your time with your children, okay? Because they need you. They need you. And all the money you make will never replace the time you'll miss with them. It will not. In fact, you get to that point, and I just know many men who worked so hard to strive to do that are no longer married to the same woman. Even comes to those that are in ministry. Men in ministry, and I won't mention his name, but I highly respect him. I did not know that man went through a divorce till I read his book. And you know why? He spent all his time in the ministry. He gave no time. See, God will make up the time if you're doing the right things. That's what I'm just trying to say. So it's just not in the natural. It's those who are in the other natural, in the ministry part. They have to be very careful. Very careful. You say, well, they're serving God. You can't neglect your lady. You cannot neglect your spouse whatsoever. Whether it be the female or the male. But today, because it's Father's Day, that's why we're going the direction we are. A father's role in the family is a pivotal one. He is called upon to be a leader and a protector for the family and to give an example of Christ's love by being loving towards the children's mother. He is also to be strong in the faith and to bring the children up knowing right from wrong. See, in our children's eyes, we want to become the protector, provider, one who can fix things, the rescuer. We're going to become their hero. But every summer, motion picture industry tries to top its previous year's revenues by producing new sets of movies to see. And the most popular of these is still going is superheroes. Oh, that's not hard to say. Superheroes. You know, we have characters like Superman, Batman. We got what? Iron Man. We got Thor. That's my guy. Captain America. You got Captain Marvel, not to let you ladies out. And we got Wonder Woman. And you got Spider-Man. That's just to name a few. But they have captured generations' imaginations for years. And they often produce a rather large following, both in print and in film. There are not just, you know, comic books. There are also books. Children and adults alike love the idea of a hero swooping down from the air and saving the day. And moreover, you know, many of them like to dream of being such a hero themselves. Yeah. Andrew Spider-Man. I remember that. Yeah, he had all the fake things that you could shoot out that string. Yeah. Amen. However, as most children realize from a very early age, that superheroes are characters of fantasy. Yet, some of us still love our superheroes. All right, I have costumes to prove it. But there really are no flying men that can fly faster than a nuclear missile that's been launched, capture it, and take it and shoot it into outer space. There are no millionaires who dress up as bats or don iron suits and they catch bad guys. No. Nope. Now, that's not to say that heroes do not exist. Just because there's no Incredible Hulk does not mean there are no incredible people in the world. Just look around. Look at the person sitting next to you. They're incredible. Just because a person may not possess extraordinary powers does not mean that he cannot be an extraordinary person. One of the most important roles in the world is the role of the husband and father. The most important hero a wife and children can have does not wear a cape or a special costume or even have superpowers. The best hero a family can have is a husband and father who stands for and is secure in who he is in Christ, who manages his home with the principles found in the Word of God, and who understands his duties to his wife and his children. In short, the best hero a family can have is a godly man in the home. We're going to look to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 22 to 33. And then we're going to continue on to chapter 6 and read the first four verses of that. Because this spells out how the Christian family is supposed to be set up. This is God's word. Remember that. Wives, now this is the message, by the way. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Verse 25. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words invoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in a dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. Verse 29, No one abuses his own body, does he? No. He feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all, Paul says. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself in loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. On to chapter 6 there. I like this one. Mike, you're going to like this one. Children, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it. Namely, so you will live well and have a long life. Think about that. To live well and have a long life. That's two things you need in today's life. I'm telling you. Fathers, though, here's the key. Don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. And the way of the Master, Jesus, is with compassion, guidance, leading by example, understanding, and most of all, love. See, because in 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Everything he has done for us was done by his love for each of us. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
See, in these verses, though, in Ephesians, it tells us that the wife is to submit to the husband, the husband is to love the wife, the children are to obey their parents, and the father is to discipline and instruct his children in love. That doesn't mean to spare the rod. There's a time for that. Back in my day, there was a lot of time for that. Yeah, you just don't know what I was like. They literally had to put a leash like a dog on the back of me with a harness, and I ran on a runner. Yeah. Until one of the neighbors said, "That's unruly, unclip me." My mom was so mad. I was gone. Hallelujah. Those were days. But don't spare the rod. Sometimes it's necessary. I don't understand the timeouts. I'm still working on that. Yeah, I'm from a different generation. You know, I don't even know the names they give to these new generations. Z generation. What's the other one? Come on, Jaqueen, you know them. You're one of them. I don't know what they are. She's looking at me like, "Oh, okay, I'm just going to be quiet here. I ain't going to let you off the hook, girl." No. But, and this is not the only place, though, that we find these directions in the Word of God for how the family is supposed to be set up. Almost the exact same thing is in Colossians. Colossians 3, 18 through 21. And we're staying with Message Bible. Verse 18. Wives, understand and support your husbands by submitting to them in ways that honor Jesus. Husbands, go all out in love for your wives. Don't take advantage of them. Children, do what your parents tell you. This delights Jesus to no end. Parents, don't come down too hard on your children, or you'll crush their spirits. God's instructions for the Christian family are repeated twice. And even God thinks it's important to telling us those things. Every year at Father's Day, we should remind ourselves of these scriptures, and especially the role of the father in the house. A father is to be an example to his children. And when it comes to loving his wife, their mother, because let me tell you, kids are watching. They are watching. Now, in Ephesians 5:25, it said, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands, love your wives. That's a command. That is a command. And this is agape love. Agape love is the highest form of love. It is totally unconditional. Totally unconditional love. See, this is something not just taught, but it is demonstrated. Again, your children are watching. In 1 Peter 3:3, in the same way, you husbands should live with your wives in an understanding way. You should show respect to them. As women, they lack some of your advantages. They are weaker than you. But God gives them the same blessing that he gives you, the grace that gives true life. Do this so that nothing will stop your prayers. Husbands should love your wives in an understanding way and show respect to them. Wonder why your prayers may not be working? Well, I didn't get an amen. They all just got quiet. Woo! Holy Ghost touched something there. As fathers, we are to what? Train up a child in a way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Now, that was the King James. Message Bible says, point your kids in a right direction. When they're old, they won't be lost. The Living Bible, teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain on it. Now, the PJ translation I really like, okay? That's the Pastor Jack translation. Lead your children by example in the way they should go and act, and they will surely follow it because they have a visual example, not just a verbal instruction. Because what's many of father say? That's exactly right. And you wonder why they're not listening. Why they're not on the path they're supposed to be on. Husbands and fathers, we have an awesome responsibility to love our wives and our children and to teach and train and lead our children by example. There's a movement in our nation to change the biblical order. Biblical order. See, they're working hard to circumvent God's plan and to reinvent what the family is supposed to look like. Husband and wife. That, and you have a children. You got a family. Yeah. I'm sorry, it ain't two guys and having a kid. Because it don't happen that way. And it don't happen with two ladies who get together. I pray for them. You got to pray for them. You got to get them in to hear the word of God. Oh, that's pretty bold, Pastor. That's the word of God, and that's how I feel about it. Well, you're prejudiced. No, I'm not prejudiced. I'm just telling you, God don't like it. He'll spew you out. Hallelujah. You got to know what the Word of God says. I want to know why some of the things happen. We got to reach them, and we can reach them with the Word of God. Amen. There's hope. There's always hope. But you just watch any modern television program nowadays, and it depicts the family. The way they depict the family, rarely is the father depicted as father, as the family is depicted as father, mother, and children, with the father in the leadership role. If the father is even in the picture, he is often shown to be a bonehead or prone to misbehavior. He's always in trouble. He's always acting foolish. He's always making the wrong decisions. That's the way they show them. But the Word of God paints a much different picture of manhood and what it should look like. The godly man is not a fool who cannot manage his family. The godly man is a man who loves his wife, who trains his children, and who through these qualities encourages both their respect and admiration. The godly man is not a family punchline. He is a family hero to his wife and children. A godly husband and a godly father is one who seeks to emulate Christ in the management of his family. Husbands, love your wives. Fathers, train up the child in the way that he should go. Dads, we all need to be like our Heavenly Father. We need to be a good, good father. Real fathers take responsibility for their actions and take care of the financial, spiritual, and emotional well-being of their homes. Real fathers serve God. Real fathers are men of action. Real fathers prepare their children for adulthood. Real fathers take responsibility, and real fathers are reliable. Here are six attributes of good and godly fathers using the acronym FATHER. Okay, the F in father stands for faithful. Good fathers are faithful. Good fathers are faithful men. They are first faithful to God and trust God with their whole heart, soul, and mind. Good fathers believe in God's promises that God will preserve their families, and that means protect their families, and that the Lord will provide their families with everything needed, especially salvation. Good fathers accept their role as the spiritual head of the house and set the tone for family worship. Good fathers read and meditate God's Word daily. They have an active prayer life, attend church regularly with their families, and obey God's Word. In the Word, we have many examples of a faithful father. We have Joseph, Jesus' father. He was faithful because he trusted the angel when he learned that his bride-to-be was going to give birth to Jesus. He's also faithfully did what? He moved his family to Egypt when he was warned by that angel. How about our father, Father Abraham? Abraham faithfully believed in the promise that his wife Sarah would give birth to a son at nearly, 99 years old? And then what? He would be the father of a great nation. Hallelujah. Our father Abraham. Hallelujah. Okay, the A. The A in father stands for action. Good fathers are men of action. Most dads like to watch their sports on television. Some have a few hobbies and engage in some downtime to relax. Despite occasional laziness, good fathers are men of action, especially when their families need them. Good fathers don't just sit there. They spring into action when the toilet overflows. How about the light doesn't work? A bug needs taken care of in the house. Or when something important around the house needs fixing. If you need to have a new medicine cabinet installed, you don't go hire somebody. You get your husband to do it, and he will do it. And he'll put in a new light board, and he'll do an excellent job. But don't criticize him the whole time he's putting it up there. Workman, he's got to have a little bit of patience on your end. Hallelujah. And then when you get done, you look at it and say, wow, my husband did that. And he did it for me because I requested it. Hallelujah. Be thankful for the little things you have that take place. Because the more you're thankful, then the more things they begin to fix and do all around the house. Hallelujah. Don't be critical. You know? Good dads know how to get things done. They solve problems and always rise to the occasion. Good fathers also instill a good work ethic in their children and teach by example. Children need to see hardworking fathers and good fathers challenge their children to learn through activity. Good fathers watch over their children and give them the space they need to try things. And then to learn from their mistakes that they make. Good fathers are active and engaged parents. Engaged. The T in father stands for teacher. Good fathers are teachers. Good fathers are teachers and prepare their children to enter adulthood and face the tough world around them. This means that fathers give their children survival skills that will help transform them into successful adults. Unfortunately, most teens don't listen to the advice of the fathers. But isn't it amazing, because we grew up in that, isn't it amazing how as we got older, our father got more intelligent the whole time? Oh, the man, the things he knows. It pays to pay attention to your father when you're growing up. Oh, Jesus. In order to be good teachers, fathers must be patient, credible, and earn their children's trust and love. What Ephesians 6:4 tells us? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord God. Good fathers do not continually criticize their children, but instead focus on teaching them with the same love and understanding that Jesus used when teaching the disciples. Good fathers teach their children to obey God's word and teach them tithing. Yes. You'll set the example. They'll benefit from that teaching. The H in father stands for hope. Good fathers offer hope to their families. Good fathers are a source of hope and inspiration for their families. Dads are the family's pillar of strength, and they are the ones that tell us that things will be all right in the midst of a crisis. Even though dads may complain, you know, if Leanne were here, oh, she'd probably be nodding. Good fathers are optimistic and resilient because they trust God. Good fathers also trust their children and continually encourage them to pursue their passions, fulfill their dreams, and plan for their future. It was once said, where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. In contrast, good fathers are the father found in the parable of the prodigal son. Good fathers are forever hopeful and inspire their families to push beyond themselves. Good send out this morning. The E in Father stands for example. Good fathers are a positive example. Good impressions are important, and good fathers are positive role models to their families. Children tend to imitate and adopt their parents' behaviors. Therefore, fathers must be good husbands, live moral lives, and treat all people with respect and dignity. As the family's spiritual head, good fathers take an active part in their children's spiritual development. While mothers spend more time with the children in a traditional home, the importance of the father's role cannot be diminished. Now, Paul's advice to the Corinthian church holds true in 1 Corinthians 11:1. You should follow my example just as I follow Christ. The most important example that a father can make is to his children is to love others. Because what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Finally, the R. The R in Father stands for reliable. Reliable. Good fathers are reliable. But they're also responsible. And this word, they're consistent. They work hard to bring home the finances needed to provide for their family's needs. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, if any provide not for his own, especially for those in his own house, he is worse than an infidel. That's a word. Good fathers are helpful in times of crisis. Sadly, men today are not consistent in their fatherly duties and neglect to see the importance of their role as fathers themselves. Fathers need to be reinstated to the level of importance that God intended them to. American morality and spiritual integrity is at an all-time low because of the declining value placed on the role of the father in today's society. Children need attentive and reliable fathers to be the role models. Attentive to the needs of their children. But they need to be reliable. Your kids need to know you're there for them. No matter what, even in their rebellious state, you've got to be there for them. As you're attentive to this, you'll see it coming, and you'll be able to handle it. Especially if you're prayed up. You're a prayed up father, because good fathers pray. And good fathers are in the Word. You can avoid a lot of these different things that happen in your life. And help protect your children. Get in the habit of every day saying Psalm 91. Hallelujah. And start from the beginning, not at the halfway point. It pays to take it and put it all into play. Hallelujah. In order for children to grow up into responsible adults, they need stable and reliable role models who don't shuck their responsibilities. Here's another one that was given to you. You like this one. This was written. If you want your children to keep their feet on the ground, put some responsibility on their shoulders. Responsibility isn't a curse. It is a blessing. Good fathers are of proven character. They are faithful to their calling and are reliable to those that need them. A father's influence is paramount. That means it's of utmost importance to a child's development into a happy, well-adjusted, productive adult. Good fathers are involved in their children's lives, looking out for the best in them, for their best interest. Dads have to make hard choices and realize that popular decisions are not always the best decisions. Good fathers are able to discern and develop their children's hearts, souls, and minds through the Word of God. We need to take the time to make sure that we are their hero. And as we do, we'll be pointing them to Christ. Amen? And I'm going to read you a story here that I think you'll enjoy, because I did, because it puts a lot of this right into place. A father and his youngest son were riding in the car, and they were talking about superheroes. The son asked if Superman was his hero, because as a child, his father collected Superman comic books and still enjoyed looking at them from time to time. But he said, "No, son, Superman is not my hero. He's just a character." Then he thought for a minute as they drove along and said, "Son, do you have a hero?" Now, the father was hoping to hear him say, "It's you, Dad." Because the father had strived to be a man his son could look up to and wanted to be like. But he didn't say, "You, Dad." What he said, though, was much more precious. He said, "Dad, my hero is Jesus." At that moment, his son taught him a valuable lesson. You see, he had wanted his son to think of him as his hero. And to be his hero, the one thing the father needed to do most of all was to try to be more like Jesus for him and for his mother and for his other siblings. That's what they need, a man who desires to be conformed to the image of Christ. If you are a husband and a father, Christ is your model. You should seek to love them as Christ loves his church. Like our Heavenly Father, be a good, good father. Amen. You will be the hero. Amen. Happy Father.